It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being the victim of human trafficking. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry from the Beach Studio. How are you, Joe?
Yes, hello. How's it going?
And Heather Height and Dave Harris.
Howdy.
Hi, guys.
I just waited for him to say hi first this time. He's been talking over me all day.
Oh, wow. That won't go well.
It's what I do.
Let's start this off right. Well, shut the fuck up, Dave.
Well, we kind of want him, you guys both
yeah,
to talk.
You got to talk.
It's a talk show. But welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming up. On the show, the new FOSTA law. I bet you don't know what that is. Well, Dave does. That's a law that was instituted to fight sex trafficking. Fight sex trafficking, but is affecting sex workers, so we'll talk about that. The Trump administration ends NASA's monitoring of greenhouse gases. Maybe we'll do some other Trump stuff afterwards. You know, his choice of people to speak at the Jerusalem embassy. That was kind of interesting. And we'll play some Savage Medicine. But I've not really done... I've had you guys on, and we've talked about Satanism before with you guys.
Yes.
But there's another aspect to you crazy kids.
I think we've talked about this on the show before.
I don't know. I don't know if we've really gotten into
it.
About making adult films.
Yes. Well, we probably touched on it. And probably when I talked to you, when I talked to you guys when I was helping that cam girl out. But I don't know if we've really talked, you know, heavily about you guys making movies. And you guys are here to promote a movie.
Yes, we are.
Is helping that cam girl out like code for being catfished? Is that what that is?
No, no. I got hired to work in her chat room to try to help her drum up business. At first, she wanted to do like a radio show. She wanted to do shtick. Like,
I think I remember you talking about that. All right.
I'm like, people are not coming to you for shtick.
Believe it or not, that's and this is weird. If you go to campsites, stuff like that is becoming more and more prevalent.
Well, it's wrong.
I mean, they're doing it while they're naked, but they're doing material.
No, I'm coming there to jerk off. I mean, if I wanted to hear a woman with opinions and had things to say, you do that with your wife.
I think a good Niagara Falls bit goes well topless. I think that's funny.
I don't even know what a Niagara Falls bit is.
Niagara Falls. Slowly I do. You don't know the old Niagara Falls bit?
Clearly not.
Slowly I turned.
Thank you. Step by step. Inch by inch.
I thought we're talking about dicks now when you say that. Step by step, inch by inch.
It's like Three Stooges. It was actually an old vaudeville bit.
Oh, see, that's why Joe knew it. It was from the 20s.
Yeah. That's when Joe got all his inspiration. Him and Spanky 20. And Stymie.
Or he has good taste and knows his comedy history.
That must be it.
That's right. I know my comedy history.
Yeah, you're an inspiration. So what movie are we promoting?
Nadia and the Therapist.
Yes, Nadia and the Therapist.
Nadia and the Therapist.
Yes.
Is this, you sound angry. Is it, no. Nadia and the Therapist, huh?
is this a foreign film?
It's French.
It's a French film? All right, so... Why is this film different then? Because I know you've really been like getting behind this one. I see you a little social media campaign.
Yeah.
Why is this one different?
Because somebody put money into it.
Oh! I thought you were telling me that you guys were breaking new ground.
Some, like artistic, creative.
That's
answer.
What I was hoping for. Yeah, we got funding, so we feel obligated.
Exactly. We're on a whirlwind promo tour, trying to make the production budget back.
All right. Well.
So I wanted to write a script that had to do that could be funny. And still integrate sex, and it's really difficult to do that without it being.
Have you seen Cinemax?
Super stupid.
I would agree with you.
No,
it's very hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, like on purpose.
Yeah. So, like they're funny for the wrong reasons.
So I'm hoping that because, of course, we see it through our own like,
Are you asking the actors and actresses to be comedic as
it's
well?
It's a comedic. It's a comedy. It's a sex comedy.
Well, I hope there's sex in it because it's a porn thing.
Yes.
Is this X-rated?
Yeah, very much so.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And you think people are concerned with the shtick?
No, I happen to like to be creative.
Okay, all right. So this was a labor of love.
Yes, because here's the thing. I don't know about anybody else that's out there listening. I for one, am kind of sick to death of amateur porn. People just fucking filming shit with their cell phones. We're on the uncensored part of the show, right?
Yeah, it's all uncensored now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just people just filming crap on their cell phones, just banging for the sake of banging. I like old school pornography. I like it when there's a story. I like to know why the people are fucking or spanking each other.
So you've made it to the end of those old 80s porns. You've actually seen a full movie.
Yeah.
Wow, you're the one.
It's always
incest at the end.
I did not see that
in the
coming.
80s movies, yeah.
I did not see
always,
that coming.
It's always like you think it's incest, and they have the big like incest scene, and then you find out it was really his stepdaughter. Like,
does that make it okay?
I guess so. That whole there's a whole
because the entire industry is doing
what
it.
What is it called? Taboo, right? The Taboo
series.
Yeah, the Taboo series. In the 70s and 80s. It was like this whole. It was like incest was the big thing, and then the big reveal would be like it's not really her father.
is that did you guys bring that back since you guys are going retro here?
Not quite.
Yeah,
that this is a little more female driven. This is not really
what do you mean female? The guys are taken in the rear end with a dildo.
No, but
that's female driven.
Future, yeah.
Hey-o.
You're a little dirtier than we are, Devin.
Well, I'm just trying to angle into this business, trying to figure out what the level is.
No, because
he's dirty like that because he was right when we do the scammer stuff. He was writing porn with his scammer, and he got good at it.
I'm a diamond in the rough, kids. You should use my brain to help you create your smut. I'm here at your disposal.
Absolutely.
So Heather wrote a movie about a young girl named Nadia who is getting married and does not feel that she can discuss or disclose her kinky side to her husband to be, and she still needs to find an outlet for all of this.
Okay,
so she seeks the counsel of a therapist played mm-hmm. by Heidi Nights, which is Heather's alter ego, and through that she discusses all of the things that she's into. There are flashbacks to previous incidents that she's experienced. You know, stuff like self bondage.
Self-bondage? What is self-bondage?
That's where you bind yourself.
No, I figured out that much stupid.
Yeah.
Thank you. But how?
It's pretty much self-explanatory.
But I don't understand like how you, because at some point you're tied up and you can't finish tying yourself up.
Yeah, you can't finish. You're all tied up. How do you, I mean, you can only do maybe your ankles and then maybe one hand. But after that, how the fuck you do bondage?
How do you do it?
Well, you can go to our website, davescustommedia.com, buy Nadia and the Therapist, and you can see exactly how it's done.
Plug one.
There you go.
Plug one.
Ding.
Is that like a thing though, where people bind themselves? I had never heard of that.
Yeah, self bondage is a fetish. Forced orgasm is another fetish we explore in that same scene.
What is forced orgasm besides rape? Which
I don't think that's the same thing.
You're jerking off under the blanket. Your mom's starting to walk in.
That's a ruined orgasm.
Ma.
Trying to do this now.
Yeah, trying to do this.
What is forced? I'm learning.
Forced orgasm is where most likely you are bound and tied.
Okay,
and then someone else uses either their hand, their mouth, or some kind of a sex toy to make you come.
Oh, so it's just coming while being bound.
Yeah, where you're not able to stop them from making you come.
But why would you at that
point? I think it's usually done to women. Mostly.
Oh, okay.
And I think that the reason why it's because it's a little uncomfortable to be forced.
Have you?
To orgasm.
I'm guessing you've been.
No, but I've used a vibrator before, and if you hold it on, like you kind of have to ease up a little bit and then put it back on.
Oh, I see
so
what you said.
Somebody else is in control of that,
and they're not listening to your verbal clues, so they're just.
They got to know what they're doing, but they're still in control. So you're gonna come. Anyway, whether it's uncomfortable
but you're
or
there,
not.
You might
but
as well.
But it is like sort of a punishing kind of orgasm.
I bet it's very exciting though once you do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like watching it. I know that.
Shocking. All right. So I'm learning things. All right. So that's in there. Forced orgasm is in there. That's one of Nadia's fantasies or things that she's into.
Right. And the film also features some spanking, some lesbianism, some flogging. You know, all of the fetish tropes that you've come to expect from the Dave's Custom Media / Heidi Nights crew.
Sure. It's your calling card.
Yes.
All right. Now, are you acting in this as well?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So now are you guys engaging in intercourse with other people?
No. If I am the one who forces Nadia to orgasm.
With a vibrator.
With a vibrator.
Okay.
And then she is the therapist. The film culminates with Nadia deciding that, you know, her favorite thing in the world is to be spanked. She can't express that to her husband, so what she's thinking she should do is have a clinical psychologist spank her during therapy.
Okay. Well, I mean, there are sex therapists.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm sure you guys did a lot of research
on it. Trying to rationalize it. Like, it's
a porno, Davin.
No, but I mean, this could be, you know, adult entertainment that doesn't have to be dirty. You know, maybe educational. You know, maybe like an
adult entertainment that is dirty.
Maybe Discovery Channel After Dark. You know, that's all I'm saying.
It's called National Geographic.
Yeah, but I'm saying it can't be all crab fishing. That's all I'm saying. Maybe there's another. All right, so now you're in. Now you both act in some of these movies and other people's movies.
Yeah.
And you guys are married. Is there any ever jealousy or?
No.
I mean we play with other people outside of filming as well, so it's not jealousy's never really been an issue for us.
When he started, we're starting to do a series where of girls who get spanked and then they're forced to blow him. Like,
oh yeah, you really come out the loser on that one. I bet you wrote that one. Heather, I got something we should try.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it.
I want to do some POV blowjob things, but we got to work it into the spanking genre because that's kind of my shtick. Like, I have a whole following of people who like to see me spank people.
I like how he worked it, so he's trying to help you build your brand.
I was amazed at how big her brand really is, which is funny because
we
had no idea. We went to a spanking convention.
A spanking convention?
Yeah, yes. You heard right.
down in Atlantic City. And we walked in, and she may as well have been an A-list celebrity.
Okay, wow.
Apparently, I
didn't realize what a get this was, getting you guys
here. We had no idea. Like, wait, do you
know
all know
the amazing thing about the convention was? Nobody could sit down.
Yes, there's no seats necessary.
Well, no, they knew who she was.
Yeah,
they didn't know who you were.
No, some of them had seen me.
So,
like,
but
I'm not nearly in as many of the films as she is.
Well, I would imagine seeing a girl spank other people is a lot more exciting for men than seeing you get blown.
Right.
Yeah. And plus, we hadn't really like.
At that point, we'd only done.
We
one.
We only did the one, but that is the one that got. Oddly enough, it got attention from somebody who isn't into. Sexual aspects of spanking films, but when
wait, there's non-sexual aspects.
Yes, there's people who are only interested in spanking without any sexual connotations whatsoever.
So what do they wear? Like a muumuu and flip flops?
No, it's still sexy, but like this particular person is into like white satin panties,
okay.
And he does not like to see the panties come down.
Yeah.
He just, like, girls being spanked with white satin panties is his thing. He has a whole website and a blog.
But this guy was very impressed with Dave's work.
Well, he was impressed with my work and then just kind of, like, cut it short at the part where it becomes, like, Dave getting blown. So,
yeah.
But he covered...
he doesn't want to ruin the end. You know, save that for another night.
He featured us in his blog and
spoiler,
did a whole...
I blow a load on our tits.
He did a whole write-up about that particular clip. And then, like, when he goes, it does end in some sexual situations. But for those of you who know me, you know that I'm blah, blah, you know, with the white
just a regular churchgoer and not your church.
But there's a whole huge, like, community. There's like, superstars of spanking.
So when Dave, like, brings up, I'd like to get blown. Now that your brand is taking
off. Oh, yeah, I have to continue that.
Does that go?
So, well, it went like this. He like booked the one girl, and then he started coming to me like, well, I'm gonna try and book this girl and then this girl the next month. I was like, are we just gonna do a Dave gets blown like once a month thing now? Is this a thing we're doing?
And he's like, why does it have to be only once a month?
Exactly.
Well, sure, okay, we could do that.
We're trying to build a library, woman.
It's not like jealousy, but I do have stages of getting used to an idea that I need to go through. Like,
so this was not an idea that you were initially all on board with?
Against it, but I was like, you know, I gotta be like, all right, so we're doing this now, you know.
So is there a line for like either one of you?
I don't think there's a definite line. I think that there's like a
so Heidi Knights theoretically could have sex with another man and you could be directing it and it would be fine.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Now, what happens if you're not directing? Do you feel like differently if you're not on set?
I've never had sex on video. I don't.
But would you?
No, I'm 48 years old. I'm not having sex on video. I'm just going to keep beating butts.
Well, it's great work if you can get it.
Yes.
I'm 40 and in the best shape of my life.
He
I will
can
be
get all
sex
the tail he wants. That's fine.
So would you be upset like if he had...
No, I was shooting the last one.
Yeah, she held the camera.
I held the camera for the last one.
So, I mean, how does that... Because were you guys like that before you met each other?
Yeah.
Yes.
So is that what brought you guys together? Did you guys like meet on some type of forum?
No.
No.
We actually met in the chat room of the Conti and Kenny show.
Wow, that's quite the... They got a different chat room than we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a guest on their show.
Right.
So, and I guess every once in a while you just jump in the chat room.
Yeah.
And I was just a regular
listener. Because I just hit it off with those guys real quick. And then, so I became a fan and friends of those guys. And then she, you know, was hanging around the chat room. And so I just started talking to her and found out she was a comic. And that's when we started Hate Speech Radio.
Right. I remember that. We were there for a heck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got fired.
Funny, yeah. But I was on your podcast, too. I did your show one time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a memorable moment for all.
I thought Joe was on it more than once.
Yeah, I thought we had you on more than once.
Yeah, I thought you were on there more than one time.
Well, Joe's no Evan Weiss. What are you going to do?
We were like,
Long Island only has so much talent. I know that aggravated Joe.
Or he was like, "Yes, that's true. I am not Evan Weiss."
Thank God.
Did you guys ever create or perform in adult movies before you guys got married?
No. I had always wanted to direct adult films.
Well, yeah, what guy doesn't?
And not even necessarily be in them, because I mean, at the time that I was in my fucking 20s, I was a disaster physically. So I had no aspirations to be in the movies, but I always had an interest in filmmaking.
Right.
And through doing Hate Speech Radio, we had a lot of adult film stars on the show. One of them who lived locally one day posted on Twitter she needed a cameraman. So I lied and said I knew how to run a camera. turned out I had an aptitude for it. She showed me, you know, little tricks and stuff. And she's like, okay, she's like, you're rough around the edges, but you're actually pretty good. Let me teach you some stuff. And she's
still talking about camera work.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. And so basically she was a, you know, perpetual AVN nominee. So she was a good.
So she was fairly well known.
Yeah. She was fairly well known.
What's AVN? Adult Video
News.
Okay. Fake news.
And so, you know,
it's the only real news.
And so eventually, you know, she just said, why don't you just do this yourself? And I didn't have a good answer for why we weren't.
That's interesting. So it was your idea.
Yes.
That's it. Well, that makes it a lot easier for you.
Yes.
Because it might be weird if it was your idea.
Yeah.
But if it's her idea, like, fuck yeah. Because then whatever happens, go, well, this is your idea.
Exactly.
Oh, you hit the jackpot.
That isn't how that argument goes.
No? How's that argument go?
It goes, I am doing porn for you. I say that to him. That's how that argument
goes. But this was your idea.
He never comes back at me with that. That's so weird, Dave.
Yeah.
So who then?
Because I acknowledge.
Because you know. No, it isn't. It's because I would come back at you with, for you.
But did you want to get into movies before he started making them?
No, I didn't. I.
She just had an interest in spanking.
Well,
I take it that's something that you guys, you know, do.
That's the thing that's how it happened was because we want to, like, branch off and actually become a porn empire, but we had to start somewhere.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm into spanking, so I could do that for free for you, and we could just bring in some subs, and I'll spank subs, and we'll start there, and we'll start doing spanking.
Little mom and pop porn.
Yeah, and then we did some, like, light foot fetish stuff, and, you know, if I was in better shape, I would totally fuck on camera, but I'm just, you know, I'm just not...
Get the woman an ab roller. Let her...
I'm just not really... interested.
Can you imagine if you go like to a weight loss class or something like that? And why are you here? Well, I'm looking to fuck on camera. Yeah.
So, what are your weight loss goals?
I want to be fuckable, just not average fuckable. Fuckable where other people want to fuck me on camera.
Yeah, I want to look good on film while being like.
And camera adds what, 10, 15 pounds?
Oh yeah, so.
Yeah, but you know, people of all shapes and sizes. I mean, they're people, you know, this are into everything.
And that's what I get told a lot, but I'm just...
You got your own insecurities.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Like, so now, is the, like, when you guys do something on film, you know, with somebody else, is it different than what you guys do with each other? Is it more intimate between you guys?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We're almost like tantric when we have sex. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's so funny because we're both very kinky people, but oddly enough, we're not terribly kinky with each other.
No, we have very...
Now, I get that. You don't want to befoul your loved one.
Yeah.
I get that.
I want to befoul him.
But that was an Italian thing. What was that, the Gumats or something? Like,
oh, yeah, the Madonna whore complex.
Yeah, that's definitely a Ginzo thing.
Yeah, but we don't have that at all. I don't know what it is. Maybe we're just lazy.
Tired.
Yeah,
every
tired.
Once in a while we get kinky, you know, but like most of the time we just have like loving freaking Blue Lagoon sex.
Yeah.
Only we know that we're having sex, you know.
We just do missionary. Sometimes we might get a whip, but you know, everybody's tired.
We like to switch it up every once in a while.
So there's no jealousy. There's no jealousy, which is hard for so many couples.
I have jealousy, but...
I'm a jealous person.
Yeah. See, I have jealousy, but I feel like, and I'm not trying to make myself bigger than I am here. I feel like I own it, so I will get fucking mad about things, but then I will calm down rather quickly.
You realize it's your issue.
It. But what I get mad about is when he's not smart enough not to set me off. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay. So,
I guess you'd get mad at me then too, because I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about
all the time.
That not being able to not set your wife off is a man thing. That's just, we are built to fuck with our women's heads. That's just what
but
we do.
He can't not say sentences in ways that make me go, "What the fuck does that mean?" You know, like
so you get pissed off that he knows how to push your buttons.
It's not on purpose. I get pissed off because he doesn't know how to not push my buttons. But he's getting a lot better at it. Because I – see, this is what's weird. Okay, so this is a really complicated, convoluted female vagina-having kind of thing I'm going to lay on you here.
All right, let me put down the tarp.
I could walk in on him while he was getting a blowjob and not get mad that he's getting a blowjob. But if he or the chick blowing him – said the wrong thing. Like if she says anything other than whoa, whoa, whoa. Like if she says
I love your balls, that's too much.
No.
If she
turned around and said something like, you know, maybe you should blow them better, that would be a
oh
really
well, that's an attack.
Thing,
that's aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
But if she says, did you have pineapple juice? You're fine with that.
Yes.
Okay.
If she turned around and said, we also did the grocery shopping and I did your dishes, that would be
so
wrong.
All right. But I get what you're saying because there's boundaries, the intimacy of your relationship. Like you look at sex as just a sex act and that's fine. He's getting his rocks off. She's the vessel.
Yes.
But like where you feel it starts encroaching on your relationship, that's where you get jealous. Now, that makes sense.
Okay. All right.
Same way?
Yeah. For the most part.
So you guys know to respect each other's boundaries because you both have that same mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it work.
Yeah. It's the difference between being, for lack of a better term, a swinger, which I guess for lack of a better term.
Aren't you guys swingers?
Which is, for lack of a better term, yeah. I just don't like the word. But yeah,
fucking other people, whatever you want, Dave.
Other people fuckers.
Yeah. Because it's just a stupid word.
They didn't consult you on it when they
made it.
I know,
right? I'm a my grammar is impeccable. I should have picked the word.
I think Joe's trying to say something.
Joe, do you have words?
Yeah, I was just saying, if you guys ever got in an argument on the set, and you know, fucking asshole, there's no anal on the schedule today.
That was worth it.
Things Joe's never heard from a woman before.
But again, it's the difference between being a swinger and being, say, polyamorous, where you are actually having like intimate, loving relationships with more than one person.
Yeah.
And that's wrong to you.
It's not wrong. It's just not what we do.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
We have friends that are polyamorous and have like multiple boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, and that's their deal.
Awesome
and kudos to them. It's just
and
not
we
our thing.
We even have sex with people who are in polyamorous relationships. We're just not.
Do you guys ever like swap in the same area with each other?
On occasion, but it's not.
Yeah, you guys are swingers.
We just kind of have sex with other people in the same area. I don't like the word swap either. Like, because we've had sex with people who are in a polyamorous relationship with each other, but we're not in their relationship sphere.
Well, you are,
you
for
know?
3 minutes at least.
Yeah, at least.
3.5.
Aren't you bragging?
That's right.
So now, like, do you ever, like say you do something with another guy, and you really enjoy it. Do you ever go back to your relationship and go, hey, can you try this?
If that ever happens, I totally would.
Okay. Look at you, you big stud. Sure. You're the
I
best.
I actually have asked him about, like, if he had anything that he particularly liked.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't anymore because last time it pissed me off. Because this is what he said to me.
By the way, that's a normal reaction, by the way.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. Because I was like, well, the one thing that I can't do is spit on a penis, and then while I'm giving a blowjob, it just grosses me out.
So you can't have it in your mouth, take it out, spit on it,
yeah,
and go back again.
And that's
a little much.
We have sex with a lot of people in the porn industry.
And spitting's
a
big
thing.
And
they spit.
But wasn't that a 90s thing? Isn't that done?
It has integrated
into their regular sex life activities.
They
and
also
like
slapping
yeah.
things, don't they? They
slapping, like, I don't mind.
But they like to. There's a lot of slapping.
So the thing that Dave said to me with our friend Ashley, I was like, well, does she do anything in particular that I don't do that you like? And he goes, she knows how to position herself so that my dick goes into her directly.
What does that mean?
That's what I said. I was like, what the fuck? What is that? What kind of mystical...
Are there obstacles? Are there roadblocks
like
usually?
Doorway to Narnia before my vagina? What's going on? Why can't...
Is Smokey and his
Answer
son blocking the
questions
road?
Three.
What are you talking about? Sex isn't supposed to be a riddle.
The whole spitting thing, though, is like, why don't you spit on my cock? It's not like it cut you off in traffic. What's the matter?
I think Dave really likes the spitting.
I kind of like it.
But what is this? No, I'm fascinated by the directly thing.
Okay.
Like, there's a moat around your vagina normally.
Every dude has been through this, and if you say you haven't, you're a fucking liar. Every dude has had that fucking weird weird comical experience just trying to fucking put it in.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I got you. Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah. Every dude is going through that. And
it's just a moving target.
Yeah, and in this one particular instance, like, literally, ass in the air, boom, didn't fucking move.
Oh, that's a pro right there.
And just, yeah,
and she's got a big, a pro, and she's got a big hole. I mean, it's about, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
she didn't.
Yeah, no.
Really?
That's a misnomer.
Good to know.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, but maybe that was just dumb luck.
I doubt it. She's really good at sex.
Yeah.
She really
Take your
is.
Word.
Like,
yeah.
Like, no, I'm not taking anything away from her in this conversation. She's excellent at sex.
Well, I mean, but it is kind of like weird to compare your loved one to a porn star, because normally, you know, people say don't do that, but you guys are like, well, we're fucking them and we'll fuck each other.
No, because honestly, if there was something that wasn't bullshit that somebody did that he really liked and it was something that I could stomach doing... Like, you know, I can't stomach licking spit off of a dick. It just can't. But like, if there was something that he really liked that another woman did, whether she's, especially if she's a porn star, I mean, come on, they have lots of sex.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get sex tips, you'd go to a porn star or a sex worker of some kind, wouldn't you? I mean, why would you go
to
a
doctor?
I mean,
that's the theory. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really known that
many. I'm not
going
to go to my... Well, I don't have a priest. I might go to my priest, actually.
I'm your priest.
You're my priest.
No, this has to be somebody
else.
The
Catholic Church that has, like, the you know, you go to your priest for, like, marriage counseling? What is he going to teach you how to do? Diddle little boys? I don't even understand that.
It's
like,
a skill.
How's that going to happen?
Can you teach that to Alexa?
If that's the pointers that you want, he could teach it. But, that's yeah, it. So, right. No, David.
Alexa, repress my memories.
Funny. No, but that's interesting. It's interesting. I thought people would like to know it. So yeah.
So you, I mean, I gotta, I think that it's just natural. I'm gonna be the one that has more issues with jealousy. But
why is that natural? I don't think that's natural.
Really, you don't think so?
No, I think men and women can be equally jealous. I think it's how you handle your jealousy. I think it's whether you put it on the other person and make it their shit, or if you can realize, hey, this is my issue and I need to control it.
Yeah.
I think relationships end over jealousy when somebody makes it the other person's shit and becomes controlling.
Yeah.
But I think it's natural. you know, I mean, you guys love each other and you want each other to be happy. But, you know, insecurities, you go, well, you know, not that he would leave you, but if he likes it better with this one, maybe he's going to go over there to that one more instead of me. I think it's natural.
Yeah, and that's oddly enough, that is not my fear. I'm not afraid of losing my husband to another woman or afraid that he's going to go have sex with another woman again. He's got partners that he's had sex with more than once.
They invite him over for Thanksgiving.
My jealousy is not based in fear. My jealousy is based in anger and control.
Why, you don't feel control when he's coming in another woman?
No, that's not what I get jealous about. Like, it's just weird, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it must be a hard obstacle course for you to navigate.
Yeah, there are issues.
Everybody's got issues. I don't think issues are just synonymous with your guys' situation. Everybody's got issues.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, communication is key. If you're gonna dive headfirst into this kind of lifestyle, you need to be open and honest with your partner. Communicate your feelings. Communicate your jealousies.
Don't deny jealousy.
Don't deny them.
I would think you guys communicate probably better than a lot of.
I don't have much of a, like, we're very much in our own little bubble, Dave and I, as far as the rest of the universe goes. Like, we're not really that aware of other couples to compare. Like, I don't know what other couples
you've had past relationships,
yeah,
both of you.
Yeah, but they all sucked and ended. Yeah, like.
Right, well, everything has a shelf life.
We're either doing something right or we're damaged in complimentary ways that really make us.
I don't think it has to be either or. I think it's probably both.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
No, we fight a lot, but our fights are like on this evil ground. Evil, even.
That was Freudian slip right
evil.
There.
Well, it is evil, but yeah. No. But our fights come from this standpoint of we are fighting as equals right now. Like, if it came to blows, we would fucking get a fist fight with each other, and it would be he'd kick my ass. But you know what I mean? Like we're not. Nobody's above anybody in this relationship. So when we have a fight, I don't think of it as an unhealthy thing. I think of it as Dave and I working something out that requires the level of argument that we're going
to
fight.
I think a lot of people look at fighting and bickering as unhealthy. And to me, it's like, well, that's just normal. Now, if you're doing it all the time, it's a little much.
Yeah,
everybody goes through rough patches.
Yeah. So, but then at the same, like in the same breath, you know, we could be viciously cutting each other down and then laugh at it in the same, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that's
fight,
normal.
So
I don't think that's normal.
That comes from
good one in on each other. Then yeah. Come on.
And I think that just comes from us both being comedically minded.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the average like, person could take.
Yeah, like
no,
like,
I would
like
never.
She'll nail me and I'll be like, that was fucking. Good.
I'll use my nastiness on Joe. I would never use it on a civilian. Yeah, because they can't handle. Like Joe will just brush it off and come back with me something twice as nasty.
Yeah.
A civilian will cry or reach for something to throw at you.
Well, the funny thing about comics being nasty, JJ Boyd and I have been brutally, horrendously nasty to each other for the past 6 or 7 months. We settled everything up. We almost broke into tears when we hugged each other on Friday. So, you know, you know, that's the way comics are. You know, we've got to be thick skin.
All right, let's get back to the porn stuff. I appreciate you guys being open. How is, before the internet, pornography was a very lucrative business.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for, like, VHS. I mean, there was a lot of money made in VHS.
Right.
But now it's moved to a lot of sites where it's, just a camera and a person on camera pleasing themselves, working for tips. Is there still money in doing what you're doing?
There's still money to be made in porn. Porn, very much like the regular film industry, has become very democratized in ways like the ways you described. The price of equipment has come down. The cost of filmmaking in general has come down.
How about the wages in which you pay the performers?
Those have not come down.
That's surprising.
They have stayed. When I first started making friends in the business and I started inquiring as to what people got paid, and then years later when I finally got into the business and I found there was a significant time gap, I found that the prices had not really adjusted.
That's like comedy. Prices, if anything, the prices have gone down. Comedians haven't gotten a raise since like 85.
Right.
Are porn stars still making 85 porn rates?
I don't know what the rates were.
I think in the 80s they probably made more.
They probably did make more in the 80s.
But it hasn't come down, you don't think, in the past 10 years?
In the last 10 years it has not come down.
Is that because it can't get any lower?
I don't think of it as particularly that low.
I think that in particular,
without outing what people get paid.
Yeah. No, well, just get, you know, you don't have to say somebody gets paid. Well, give me the range for like a male star and a female star.
Males get paid significantly less.
That I know, but like, what if females get like a movie? Was it? It's based on scene, isn't it? And what
it's,
they do?
It's based on. It's largely based on scene. Largely based on what the scene is going to be, what they're going to do in the scene.
Right.
Obviously, individual acts. Require,
a lot of these girls get to set their own prices,
and a lot of girls
too.
And a lot of girls do set their own rates,
right?
So there's still money. There's no standardized rate. Every girl pretty much sets their own worth, and then you know you can either choose to negotiate or not.
Now, don't you worry that somebody will download your clip and then upload them to one of these other like websites where the stuff's for free?
That's always a concern. I knock on whatever the fuck this table's made out of. It hasn't happened yet. But that's always a concern. It's something we're always on the lookout. I'm at least once or twice a week Googling Heidi Nights or, you know, the titles of our
films. And going to other porn sites for research purposes.
Yeah, actually.
That's the most fun part.
Yeah, exactly.
Because 6 hours later.
Six hours later, I've stolen 5 ideas.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I can do that. And again, just like the regular film business, you know, piracy is what destroyed the business. And Pornhub built their company on the back of piracy. And don't let Fabian, the guy who started that company, fool you.
I would not let Fabian fool me.
Yeah, don't let Fabian fool you. He knows goddamn well he built his company on the back of stolen content.
I thought he built the city on rock and roll.
No, that was Starship.
I get Starship and Fabian confused. I think of the 80s.
Grace Slick kind of looks like him. I can see that. So Pornhub became this empire on the backbone of stolen content.
Right.
And now what Pornhub does, now that Pornhub owns not only all of the major tube sites, they own like the 5 largest subscription sites as well. They own Brazzers. They own.
Why would people pay? Because you guys are a subscription site too, right?
We have a subscription site. The main focus of our business is our custom business, where we're literally narrow casting to an audience of one, where customer reaches out to us, contacts us, tells us I want to see X, Y with performer Z and performer.
Oh, I would figure that's where the money is.
Yeah. Bespoke custom porn is where. A lot of your independent porn producers are making.
So now,
money
do you put like when you draw up this contract? I'm assuming it's kind of. Do you put out that they cannot publish it anyplace else?
Exactly. We retain publishing rights, and we do in fact take the customs that we shoot for individuals, and then turn around and sell them to the general public.
Oh,
as well.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
We were going to make that anyway, but you know, sure.
Yeah,
we'll see it on your dime. Thank you.
And there will be occasions where a customer will be like, I want to be the only one that has this, and then I
charge a fee.
I double the price.
Okay. Now, look at me jotting down numbers, figures. How can I make this happen?
Yeah.
Put in my requests.
Can I show up in a thong next week? All right.
Not you, stupid. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody's paying for that.
Joe will talk. I think I know a guy. Wants to see that.
Who wants to see that?
Who would want to see Joe in a thong?
Yeah. Hey, there's an audience for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess Big A has been sending you letters. I don't know what to tell you.
I want to see Joe.
The dialogue would be 4
Love
words.
You, Andrew.
The fucking thing would be 3 hours.
So the business model is now more what you're talking about, where people reach out to creators of content and ask for customized stuff. That's the way to make money now.
Yeah, as a small independent studio, that's going to be your best bet.
Unless you're like Wicked, which can do parodies of major things or get celebrities to do stuff.
Yeah.
But for the average small independent film, that's interesting. I was unaware of that. Because obviously the whole cam thing is based on you tip me X amount and I'll do this, but it's usually with themselves or maybe one other performer.
Right. And some of those girls who have amazing marketing skills are making money hand over fist.
Are they?
No pun intended.
It's kind of the whole premise of the business, exactly. Hand over fist.
That's the name of our next film.
Yes, it is.
Now, they have rules, though, in Europe, that like you speak your fist, that you can't have a fist, right? Like, I think it's some market.
Oh, Europe, just like you're talking the UK?
Yeah.
They did just like pass, a lot of, like lot of, over the past
a
few
lot of
years.
Fetish stuff is outlawed in the UK,
so, like,
including spanking.
Yeah. So, like, what happens if you get somebody from overseas, like in one of those countries, and they want you to create that? Can you still create it for them?
Yeah, because I don't live in that country.
Okay.
Yeah. That's,
so as long as there's no rules in the United States, you can do whatever.
Yeah. As, if I'm shooting content that is legal in the country that I'm in, but not legal in the country where my customer lives, that's what we refer to as their problem.
Okay, all right,
not my problem.
All right, where can people get Nadia and the Therapist? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yes,
you can get Nadia and the Therapist at our website, davescustommedia.com. You can scroll down to the bottom of the main page. There's a buy now button for Nadia and the Therapist, along with a trailer.
It's a full film.
It's full film.
How long is it?
It's a little over an hour.
That's a full film.
And it was the first thing that we shot that had any kind of financial backing from a larger studio. So
my first full length script that I ever wrote. Too.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And so we're.
How does one? Oh, you know what? Let me get some tips here. How does one write ooh, ah? Like, do you have to like write what the people are saying, or you leave it to improv?
No, you know what? I don't know what other porn script writers do because
I was writing at porn with my African scammer. Okay. You know, I had her writing porn.
And did she write ooh, ah?
I don't know. She
or was that just
the
language
she had
she
something
spoke?
Like one of the famous things, like I want to fuck you so the white comes inside out or something like that.
Ew.
Well, she's an African girl. What do you want? What do you want, Heidi Knights? She didn't have the training that you have. She's just abroad trying to get money from me, scamming her. I'm putting her through these antics.
I'm picturing like the face hugger alien baby out of the stomach now for some reason.
It was a lovely thing. Although she did want to have sex in like a baker's oven, which was weird.
Oh, that's
and as a Jew,
cool.
Very off putting.
Yes.
These are all, this really all happened, by the way.
I don't even understand why she's even interested. She probably doesn't even have a clitoris anymore.
No, she did. She's from Ghana. Stop it.
Goddamn warlords.
I love it when he corrects us. Like, no, just stop.
She's Belinda. From lovely girl. Lovely girl.
She's not from a click-cutting
Africa. I don't want you to just cast aspersions on my criminal ex-girlfriend.
hey, Devin.
Yes.
Who was the torn actor that you created in one of those scenes? I forgot his name. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I don't, Joe. I kind of like go to my safe space when I'm done with writing this. I go to my Silkwood shower and wash it all off of me, Joe, when I write this smut. I'm not like the degenerate sitting across from me. I don't have it in me, Joe.
Fuck me till the white is inside out. No!
It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the white is inside out.
It was ridiculous, but it was funny. So, but like when you write stuff, like at some point you leave it up to... Like you write the scene to get them to the sex, and then they take it from there?
Yeah, and they take it from there.
I wrote, because this is it's mainly a fetish film, so all of the sex scenes I wrote all of the action for. There is choreographed action.
So, all right, so it's like you got to hit this spot and hit that spot, and you trust them to get there and say the right thing.
And whatever else happens on top of that, which things did happen on top of what I wrote.
As luck would have it.
That's great. You know, that's fantastic. Yeah.
So anal wasn't the way you wanted it. Do you make him do it again, right? Well, I mean, I don't know.
I've never shot an anal. Like, I know.
Well, whatever
I
it
suppose,
is.
Like,
whatever the act is.
You know, I'm thinking that if we were shooting a porno and they did do anal... I'm pretty sure we would just accept whatever they would want to, like.
All right, well,
give.
When somebody's blowing
if we say anal and they and the dude puts it in the girl's ear, you know, we're going to reshoot that.
Definitely reshooting
that. Because that's not anal.
Cut.
You don't know what you're doing, do you?
Believe me, anal is something you want on the first take.
Exactly.
All right, so
girl gives you anal on the first date. That's wife material.
So you're right. You're writing.
He said take. First take.
Oh,
first take. I heard date also, by the way.
Okay, I'm not the only one.
So you're writing them the dialogue, and you're hitting, like, these are like the high points. I want you to do this and do that, and then you guys take it from there.
Yeah, it's almost more like story writing, because you're writing so much action. It's almost like writing an erotic novel. Mm-hmm. You know, I could send you the script if you want to see how I wrote it, if you're really interested. Like, I don't know if you're just asking just for the show or if you're really interested in how I wrote it. But
it's a little bit of both. Jeez, Heather.
Oh, I didn't even know I was accusing.
I'm interested. I thought other people might be interested.
So, yeah, it's almost like writing an erotic novel, you know, but with stage direction included.
But that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a lot more descriptive than something that's more dialogue driven, you know?
Okay, so they get it through the website?
Yep, davescustommedia.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the main page, hit that buy now button. It's $20.
And what else is on the site?
A bunch of our other videos that are available for sale. And also the submit a custom request form, where if you are interested in a custom video, you can fill it out and provide us with all the details that you want in there. We will reply back with a price quote, or if we need more information, we'll send an email, get some more information out of you.
But Joe's got a birthday coming up at some point.
Just missed it.
Well, we can. It's never too. It's never too early to plan.
That's right. If obviously, I know Davin is not serious, but if you're out there and you're listening,
how do you know? Joe works hard. He deserves a release.
Because I know what you guys get paid to do this.
I have other jobs.
Just be prepared for a little sticker shock. It's not cheap.
I wouldn't imagine it is.
Yeah.
No, because you're paying for models, and you're paying for production time, and you're paying for the cameraman and lighting, and so you're paying for a production of a film.
Yeah.
So there are there's one guy like had to go through the whole thing and price it out.
Yeah, I literally talked to a guy. He wanted six models, three men, three women. Wanted, and I'm going to describe the scene. This is exactly what he told me he wanted. He wanted two men on either side of one of the girls. The girl is laying down on a table. Her legs akimbo in the air. It's called diaper position for spankos that are out there. And then
it's probably a big contingency of our listener.
Yeah. So he's got one gentleman on one side of the girl, one gentleman on the other side of the
gentleman.
Girl.
Gentleman. Yes. Like the Sir Galilei.
Exactly.
The Knights of the Round Table.
Like
holding her legs up while the third spanks her. You know, for X number of minutes.
Asking for permission because he's a gentleman.
Of course.
Right, of course.
And then, you know, cycle through the other two girls. And I'm like, I worked that all out. I'm like, okay.
That would have to be expensive.
It was expensive. Yeah, it was very expensive. I think
you know what a table costs?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you have to throw that table out when you're done. You can't eat off that table.
Right, yeah.
Says you.
Put that in
curve.
And so
there's the fucking table and the eating table, Dave.
Yeah. And so I quoted him the price. He's like, oh, I thought it was free.
What?
That was free.
Thought it was free. Thought we just do this just for the sake
of
the art.
Hang up on the guy.
What, Joe?
Where are you going to get all this shit for free? I hope you hung up on him. Tell him to go to hell.
Yeah, yeah. No, I said no. I have a family to feed. Thank you. Yeah, this will cost. This I quoted him. I can't remember the exact price, but it was well into the thousands of dollars.
You got a lot of
six models. Yeah.
Yeah, six models. You're six models. You're getting close to ten to five figures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Well, Joe, you won't be getting that for your birthday. We're going to have to trim it down. One model filmed on an iPhone. That's what you're getting.
She's just texting.
Yeah, exactly.
She's fully clothed.
Yeah, those are called ignore videos.
Maybe
she's actually a thing.
Maybe she'll call you an asshole. Actually, it's Joanne.
we'll just make a video of Joe's ex-wife just texting on her phone, ignoring Joe.
Asshole. I'm not responding to this email. Fuck him.
Joe, here's a 10-minute synopsis of your 20-year marriage.
I'll write you the latest episode, okay, of a video. We'll video my wife fucking me. I'm not paying any of the health care. You paying all that yourself.
She fucked you real good.
That sounds hot. What's the budget on something like
my
that?
My dick's out right now. You can't see it.
Joe takes him in the ass by his ex-wife. With a dildo? No, with the IRS.
She fucked me so good. No, with a pussy? No, with a copay.
Exactly, yeah.
Anything else going on, Joe?
I'm wrapping up my court, my almost month on grand jury duty.
I like how you talk it like you were working the cruise ships for a month.
That's what I feel like. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't live the most exciting life, but I find most of this stuff is boring. And I sit there. And the funny thing is, they don't know I'm a comic. And today they were just talking about comic, and they mentioned Sebastian Maniscalco. And people are very nice people, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you feel like you're at the table at the club. And I go, yeah, Sebastian's a good guy, man. Club always packs out, makes good money. Yeah, very nice guy to work with. And he just looked at me like I told him I was Jesus Christ. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, they don't have a clue I'm a comic yet.
Oh, no. They probably figure that you just know him. Like, you're probably like a roadie or something. They probably don't think
Yeah, or something like that. And then he mentioned something. We were talking about Nurse Jackie a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, yeah, nerd, what a great show. I go, yeah, Adam, my friend Adam was the love interest, the cop on the show. Once again, they looked at me like I was Jesus Christ. You know, they don't, you forget you're not sitting at the table.
Yeah. They don't realize the celebrity by proxy they had in their midst.
Hey, I'm on the C-list, kind
of. No.
That's why I'm keeping my mouth shut, because I'm a C-list comic. So I'm just going to sit there and shut up. But you slip. You know, I think you think it would work where everybody knows I'm a comic, or you think you're sitting at the table at the club, and if somebody brings up something about the business, you just, oh yeah, he's doing good, but you know, and it's like they didn't bring up Kevin Can Wait yet. Well, I'm just going to blurt out, yeah, all the guys got fucked. What are you going to do? Yeah.
Well, I think the fact that nobody's bringing up Kevin Can't Wait is why it got canceled. That show had, like, good buzz, like, the first year.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch an episode. I mean, I know a lot of the people, I never watched an episode. But I remember, like, oh, the number one comedy, the number one new comedy. And then they got rid of the wife, and they brought in
Leah Remini, to sort of bring back that King of Queens nostalgia.
And I guess it just didn't translate.
Or maybe maybe Long Island can only carry a show so far, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing about it...
Sorry, Joe.
It was CBS's idea to get rid of her, because I was talking to a couple of guys. CBS didn't like the chemistry between Kevin and that woman. And CBS wanted to get rid of her, and the guys, Rock and those guys... We were fighting with that to keep her on. Why? Can you get it established? He said, no, we would want, you know, we don't want her on. I don't see the chemistry between them. So they came back and they killed her, you know, and then CBS hit the roof. Why did you kill her? And those guys went back to CBS. How are we going to explain? Well, he can't have an affair. He can't do this. He can't run out. This is the only viable option if you guys don't want her on the show. And that's essentially pretty much what happened. You know,
I think a lot of people thought it was Kevin James that did. Then I think that's why a lot of people turned their back on it. I think a lot of people thought it was like a dick move.
That could, you know, yeah, but you know, it might have been, but it was on CBS, not those guys. They wanted her on the show. And also somebody else was commenting, and it might be true too. They really didn't go into what happened. They really didn't delve into really what happened. You know, it was almost like Richie Cunningham's brother Chuck on Happy Day.
Yeah.
One moment he's there, and the next minute he's not. So, yeah, that might have worked against them. But those guys did not really want to get rid of her, you know. And bringing Leah on was they had that chemistry. But now you're watching The King of Queens. You know, it was a really dice roll on those. You know,
they should have either started with her or just not done that at all.
I actually right. when I heard that Kevin Can Wait was going to be a thing, I actually thought, I'm like, well, why wouldn't they bring Leah Remini back? I mean, they had amazing chemistry.
Not just reboot King of Queens? Why not? I mean, if you're going to do, why not just do that? I mean, it's easy to explain. Jerry Stiller's not there. He was old at the time of it. Yeah. I mean, all those other guys are looking for work. Mm-hmm. You don't think Patton Oswalt would jump at that?
Well, I remember when The Last King of Queens was on, Adam Ferrara was telling me, yeah, I'm going to be on The Last King of Queens. I go, why is Kevin ending the show? He goes, because he can't stuff any more money into the vault, you know?
Yeah, I can relate. Yeah, man. That's why I ended my first radio show. Too much success.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. What am I going to do with all this success?
Right. So I was in the city last week. I'll tell you about my experience, but I told you bitch about Manhattan.
Okay.
So I'm working at a Broadway comedy club.
Okay.
And you can park right in front of the club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's not anymore.
Oh.
Well, you look like you have something you want to say. Have you been there in the past week or two?
Yes.
Okay. So you've seen they've added a new toll booth. Not toll booths. What's a
Like a parking...
Parking meter.
Yeah.
Parking meter. So, and now it goes from, like, 6 a.m. to midnight.
Oh, yeah.
But now, on, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays, after midnight, at 1 a.m., you can't park there anyway because there's street cleaning. So, on, like, two nights a week, there's 1 hour of free fucking parking.
Brother.
Oddly enough, usually the only time I'm there is... Saturday when that regulation is not in effect. I still park in front of the club.
But I'm like, God damn it! They found a free place to park, and they said enough with this.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the point of it. But I told you I was going to bitch about the city a little bit.
The garage that is, I want to say, two blocks past the Broadway Comedy Club.
Yeah,
is probably the most affordable garage in Manhattan. It's still not cheap comparatively if you're out there in the rest of the country. But for New York, it's affordable.
Yeah, I'm not paying to do a spot at Broadway at midnight. And it ain't happening. I'm not paying to do a spot at Broadway at 9:30. It's just not happening. Like, I'll put it in the meter. I'm not paying $20-$30 for the privilege.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the club, but yeah. No.
Well, no, I mean, if you're gonna be right. there for the night, if you're gonna go club hop and do spots around the city, then it's worth it.
Listen, but I'm already paying the tolls to get into the city.
Oh, quit your bitching.
Well, listen, I didn't make it so expensive. not my fault. But you guys remember Steve?
Commissar de Blasio.
Yeah. Commissar, there you go. He's going to win re-election because nobody can run anybody better. He'll win re-election.
That's the sad part is that there's no decent candidate to run against him.
Yeah, he'll win again.
Because he's such a piece of garbage.
I don't know if he is or isn't. I'm not in the city enough to know, but that's just the reality. Neither side has anybody to really go against him.
Yeah, that's very true. There's no other Democrat to shoot to challenge for his position, and there's sure shit no Republican in New York.
No, not right now.
No,
could change. You get a good DA. Something happens to be Republican. Could change. Happened for Giuliani, so it could happen.
What happened to him?
Old age and senile, and you get in the whole Trump orbit too. You get in that whole nobody comes out
what
of that Trump.
What happens to people when they go to work for Trump? That they just become fucking retarded.
Well, they were fucking retarded to agree to work for Trump because you've seen what other people happen.
Yeah,
like, if Trump called me up and go, you want to work for me? I go, no. I would not work for you.
If he gave you enough money, you'd be there in a heartbeat.
I absolutely would not. Like, to write jokes for him, to write speeches? Sure, I would do that. But to be a member of that retarded cabinet that he's got going? Absolutely. I can't lie that much. I don't have it in me. I'd go, all right, I don't even believe this shit, people. Here's what's going on. Donald came down in his boxers and his socks. He had a nightmare, and he came up with this idea, and this is what we're doing. Deal with it. And he's
now
the president.
We all have to have blankies.
Now we all have to have blankies, and this is why Melania isn't coming out for an overnight process, why she's taking a week at the hospital. She's had enough of this shit.
It's like Mattis and Linda McMahon are the only two people who have managed to retain their sanity in that cabinet.
Yeah, but Mattis had a moment like in the beginning where he looked really bad. We were lying for the president.
And then he stopped.
Yes, you don't. Which is why he doesn't have influence anymore. And Linda McMahon has stayed out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
But she's not really, I guess she's not high up in there. Was she like the new business entrepreneur? You know,
she's the head of the Small Business Association, which to me is a fantastic role for her.
I don't know what she's doing or not doing. I had no idea, which is probably better.
Well, yeah, the fact that we don't hear about her means she's probably doing a good job.
Yeah, probably pretty decent. Because what the people we do hear is like, how do they get these jobs? It's ridiculous. Nobody's qualified for
They're hiring the homeless is what they're doing.
No, the homeless would make more sense, depending on who the homeless person is. I've seen some homeless with good ideas. They make good money. Entrepreneurs.
They pick Scaramucci up in some freaking dive bar in the Bronx.
Scaramucci couldn't last 11 days. I like the mooch. I like the mooch.
Anybody with a nickname is okay.
Yeah.
No, not true. I just happen to like the mooch. I don't like the nooch. I'm a nooch and I don't like him. He's a cocksucker.
It's like he added dice to the cabinet.
Hickory dickory die. Hey, Stormy sucked everybody's gut. Hey, Cullen paid for it.
You heard dice. It's gonna be great. Tuffet.
You know, at least if you had Dice as the press secretary, you'd be entertained with the bullshit. Yeah. You go, all right, none of this is true, but it's funny as piss. Look at this guy. He's smoking a cigarette inside. I don't think you can do that in this city. Hey, you, how about you want me to go down to the presidential press corps? It would be the best day ever because you couldn't have day two. You couldn't, but it would be day one would be amazing. That's what he should do. That's what Trump should do. He should bring in the celebrities, not to be in his cabinet, to be press secretary for a day. One day you get Dennis Rodman rambling about random bullshit. It would be so. You get Busey? Who wouldn't want to see Gary Busey?
Oh, my God, that'd be great.
I think Gary Busey should be president.
I think Gary Busey should
Let's flush the whole
door.
Fucking thing down the toilet
you think
and elect Gary Busey president.
What should Gary Busey be?
Joe?
Yeah, what? Yeah, Gary Busey, I think, should be the mayor in New York.
Oh.
No.
He's more of an Arizona kind of guy.
Yeah, his act wouldn't play in New York. you could have the mooch, Scaramucci, as mayor in New York. I could see that. Because it's kind of like a Chris Christie character.
Yeah.
They're kind of the same person, except one can still see his penis. But they're still they're the same person, essentially. They're both smart guys. They both got that wise guy, New York, New Jersey thing about them. They probably would be better movers and shakers than what we got going on now.
Gary Busey, I feel like he would just let the vibes run the city, you know? Like
The vibes. That's not vibes, that's urine.
That's what runs the city now, urine and rats.
I like Pizza Rat.
That's right.
I love Pizza Rat.
I love Pizza Rat.
That's right. De Blasio has restored New York to its former 1983 glory.
Yeah, there's an. It does smell a lot worse than it did under Bloomberg and Giuliani. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Bloomberg was good until.
I don't mind the pee smell. It makes me feel like, you know.
A movie?
I'm in a hot, sticky city like I'm supposed to feel like.
I guess. That's nice too, I guess. I don't know. August smelling somebody else's urine. Not my thing of a good time, but, you know, I get it. It's your city. I don't live there. I'm not going to judge.
It actually smells a little bit better than the drink water smell that wafts up from the sewers.
Sulfur smell?
No, it's like that fishy smell. It smells like really bad vagina. You never notice that smell?
I don't drink the water.
No, it's the sewers because it's an island, you know. We live on islands. It's
right.
A series of islands. And there's like
geography with Heidi Nights.
and sometimes that like drink water smell, like from the docks. It's like fishy, really fishy smell.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Kind of like,
you know,
it's kind of battles out the pee smell. Like it kind of has a nice perfume to it. You know, the two of them together, it's a little musky.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bottle of fragrance.
Exactly.
I like the only person who's participating with me in this nonsense is Joe on the phone.
You just turned Joe on when you talked about
that. Like, yes, pee and fish.
The docks, fish, urine, sounds like a good time.
It's a magical mix. It's a mix made in heaven. And we bottled it. It's gold Manhattan.
Eau de toilette.
So you guys have been around for a while. You guys remember Steve, who produces these bringer shows at New York?
Yes.
You know who I'm talking
about.
Probably do.
You know who I'm talking
about.
I'm not
going
to say his last name.
Oh.
Goes by many names. Flamboyant, I'll say.
Yes, that is an accurate term to describe Steve.
Yes, okay. So this guy's been around forever. When I started, he was doing bringer shows. I did the bringer shows for Steve. But there's only so long I can do that stuff. I know you guys have been affiliated with some other ones and everything.
Yeah.
But Steve's, they were long shows.
Yes.
You had to really commit to being there for a good 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you had to drag people to those shows under the illusion that possibly somebody from industry was going to discover you.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're doing those shows, for the most part, at least for me, I sucked. I was not ready to be discovered unless it was like, well, don't answer his calls.
Yeah.
I was.
I've discovered something I don't want.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. You'd go there so the industry could go, nope, not ready. That's pretty much. I mean, I guess they found some people.
Yeah.
But not I. And I was not very good at that time, which is fine. But, you know, when you don't know how to get stage time, you do these shows. I did the shows. Now, people do these shows for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. God bless them. I couldn't do it. I would fucking kill myself. I would blow my brain.
I don't even know how they do it.
They have a lot more friends than I do.
I guess so.
Because you got to bring people. But I just don't have the stamina to be doing that. Like, thank God for Long Island and New Jersey, where you can actually go to clubs and get, like, real audience. And, you know, like, go to a bar. And they're not the best audience always, but they're real. They're not there to see somebody else.
Yeah.
So... So I had an
I always preferred the bar shows that we produced to the bringer shows because you put on a free show or maybe you charge $5 at the door and it's a bar, so there's going to be people regardless.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're producing a bringer, if your performers don't produce the audience themselves, then no one makes any money.
Now, I've been in the industry on some of those, and I performed on some of those, but I'm not bringing anymore. That ship has long sailed.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there's people that have been doing this for years that are still bringing, and I couldn't do that.
See, I
couldn't do that anymore. I would never. I've done maybe a couple, but I'm not doing bringer shows anymore, not at this point in my career.
Like I would, if you're in comedy and you haven't networked with enough people in, say, 5 years, to the point where you don't have to do that anymore. Like, even if you're not tremendously talented. Even if just through just general networking and just getting to know people, be like, okay, I know enough guys who I can say, hey, can I get 10 minutes on this show? Can I get 10 minutes on this show?
Yeah.
To where I don't need to go to Bringer Producers and sign up and drag five of my friends out on a Tuesday night.
But there's still a thing.
It's still a thing, and it's still a viable. And kudos to the producers who do it.
That's not the word I would use.
And well, no, let me finish. Let me finish, because there are a bunch of people who do it who are complete fucking scumbags. But kudos to the producers who produce Bringer shows, who legitimately do things like have industry at the event.
Yeah, those are the ones I've been a part of.
Yeah,
recently.
The ones who are legitimately.
And I've actually found comics that I use, give paid work to, as the industry. I've actually found talent there.
Yeah, we mentioned Evan on the show before. Evan's a good friend of mine, former co-host of our podcast. Evan produces Bringer shows, but he literally has industry at every show. And comics who do his Bringers do get booked for paid gigs.
Right.
So I don't, when people look at that whole umbrella of that part of the business as scummy, and it is scummy. But the ones who are actually living up to their end of the bargain,
it's fine. As long as everybody's living up to their end of the bargain, it's fine. It's not something I want to do. But like I said, I've performed on one of Evans. I closed that one of Evans. I've been industry on them. So it's not like I'm above any of that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just not.
But I tell you about Evan. I got a hand. Look, I always goof on Evan. But I got to hand it to him. He carved himself out a very good niche. He's done a very outstanding job, man. I got to really hats off to him.
Yeah. He is officially making a living as a comedy show producer and a comic.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for him. I'm very proud. I used to goof on him, but when he first started, I mean, he was there when I first started, and I've always liked him, and my whole thing was sometimes, we try to help him, and he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't listen, he wouldn't do this, and that's why I've always been a little critical of him, but I've always liked him, and I am just so happy for him. He's doing an outstanding job. He found his niche, and he's doing an outstanding job, man. Kudos to him.
If I have one critique of him, and this is, I'm not speaking out of turn, this isn't anything that I haven't said directly to his face, he's not a fan of being told that he's wrong or that he's doing something.
But a lot of people aren't.
That he could be doing something differently. Improve. Yeah, he's
never heard of anybody saying, what I like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like being told I'm wrong.
if you could tell me how bad I am at something, that would be wonderful.
Criticize me. Let's go. Let's do this.
No, some people take it better. That goes back to what Joe said. We tried to help him all these years.
Yeah.
And he didn't take it. He might be.
That was my biggest critique of him, But besides that, he's a good guy. I mean, his act is, he's a good guy. He always tried. But we tried to help. We rewrote his act. And tried to, he would go up and he wouldn't do a thing off of it. I've always given him an invite. Dave, you hit the nail on the head, man. He just wouldn't take anybody's advice. That was my biggest critique of him. But if he's doing this and he's doing great, man, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's, like I said, he's making a living doing it. So my hat's off to him. And he's an honorable guy. He always lives up to his end of the bargain with those shows. And the comics that do his shows that do bring audience, they do get booked. They do.
Yeah.
The ones that are ready? Absolutely.
So anyway, now Broadway Comedy Club has two rooms.
Yeah.
One upstairs, one downstairs. Mm-hmm. I was slated to do the one downstairs. Okay. But the one upstairs, Steve's show, was running very, very late.
Right.
Which for some reason made the one downstairs run very late. I don't know how that happened. But my late night was going to be a lot later than it should have been. But anyway, so I'm hanging around there because I got in on time to do my fucking spot. But now I got to sit around for another hour and a half. Yeah. And Steve asked me to close out his show. So I thought it was like a nice like full circle. I went from Bringer on Steve's show to 20 plus years later now closing it. I'm like,
that's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of
nice.
Cool.
Nice little synchronicity.
Yeah. And the cool thing was I did all the new shit I wanted to do because I use the city as my open mics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not go. I don't.
Most comics at your level do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I was doing open mics in Jersey and this, that, the other. And if a friend of mine was producing an open mic, I would go to support my friend to do it.
Yeah.
But at this point, yeah, like you said, I'm going to the city. I'm working on new stuff. Otherwise, there's no point in me dealing with all the nonsense that's New York City.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't need that $25 spot.
Right, yeah. Don't I? Yes, I do. Who books it? So I did all the new stuff. I actually did a joke that I made that I said on the show last week, and Joe's like, "You got to bring that to the stage," and I did it. So I was happy. So I did the new stuff on his show and the other show, and it got a good response. I'm like, "Huh." So 20 years ago, I was doing stuff that I thought was A, and the material was a men's amends, you know, got some laughs, and now I'm doing brand new shit, and it's doing much better. So I just thought, just a little. Yeah. Notch in a little yeah. in a mediocre career.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope your writing has improved over 20 years.
right, but that's the thing. It is the process. I actually
part of his perception of it as well. Right?
No, like, no, not the perception. No? I've always been pretty accurate. Like I know, I've always known. I've never been one of these guys with rabbit ears that thought they killed every time. There's those guys. Now I thought the shit I had was a lot funnier, and I look back and I go, ugh, really? But you know, you learn to write for your voice. Mm-hmm. That's part of the process. But I even wrote my blog this week was about the thrill of writing a new joke. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thrill of this business for me at this point, right. Is like coming up with a little germ of an idea, working it out, and then bringing it to the stage, seeing if I say it the way I write it, seeing how the audience responds, tweaking it, going through it, making that's the excitement. Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't get these guys that have done the same jokes for 10 years, like, all right, I got my 30 and that's it.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't understand people who have that and do open mics and still just work on the same material
that's
got to
be
30 years.
I used to yell at Joe for this because Joe's very hungry. So Joe would come from Long Island and go to like these mics all over Jersey, and I would tell Joe, I go, Joe, if you're gonna do these mics, that's great, I applaud you, but do fucking new stuff. Because
yeah.
Otherwise,
oh, did I just inadvertently?
No, he doesn't.
Joe?
No, he doesn't now. Okay. He doesn't now. But those were conversations.
Oh no, yeah, no, I'm out. You know, like I do new stuff, and I'm doing like Thursdays and Sundays at Governors. I'm always working on new stuff. I did a benefit on Friday, and I had a couple of new things that I did. You know, new things that I did. A couple of things off the page. So yeah, no, I'm always working on new stuff. I'm always trying new stuff out. The key, and I remember Peter Bales used to say, and that's why sometimes I'll try to go over old stuff sometimes. Because Peter Bales used to say, you know, there's guys at the club that run to the club every week with new stuff, but they don't refine it. They don't get it to where they need it to be. So if I run to the stuff, I'll try some stuff out, and I'll put it in the rotation and then hammer it out. You know when you finally got a joke, you know, after doing it, you finally know where you got it to its final thing. Sometimes it comes in maybe two sets. Sometimes it comes in about 2 years, you know, but you got to go up and keep, you know, doing it, you know.
At the end of the day, you have to realize that not every single word that comes out of your head is going to be a gem.
Oh, yeah.
Says you.
I don't know what you... Maybe your head. This is all brilliance out of this head.
You see this because, you know, I do a lot of videography, you know, on the vanilla side of my business. I do a lot of videography for comics.
Yeah, sorry they're not spanking anybody. They should work on their tight five.
It's actually more painful.
Yes, it is. Right. Yes, it is.
And so I'll see a lot of young comics do the same 5-7 minutes over and over again, and they're not editing.
That's the problem.
They're like, I see the joke. I see where the joke is going to go. I see the potential, but it's like, if you, like, cut like 3 seconds out of that and just hit the punchline.
Well, that's why they should be taking the video that they're paying for you to make, yeah, and they should be looking at it and go, all right, this didn't work, this did work. If they don't do it, they're never going to get better. And so they're going to be doing bringer shows for 10 years.
Yeah, but the ones that do, because I've literally seen comics who I started filming when I began filming for Evan and other producers, comics who was maybe their one of their first 10 times on stage. And then years later, and you see night and day.
Yeah, of course.
And you see the trend, and I'm like, yeah, that guy's got it.
Yeah, some people grow, most don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know people that. What, Joe?
Yeah, if you put the work in, sometimes you'll write a bit, and that bit, and 9 times out of 10, that bit will be a full page, and you go to the club to work on it. By the time you go, yeah, this is it. It's a paragraph.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But and that's the process.
Paragraph. I don't think I have
any
jokes.
Guys don't realize that they're not going to grow.
All right. Well, just wanted to share that moment of triumph in the bitching about the city.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. See now, Joe. Now make sure you buy me a customized video from Dave and Heather over there as a celebration of my monumental accomplishment.
Yes, I will.
I'd be happy if you just bought him a copy of Nadia the Therapist.
What, we don't get free copies for having you on?
No.
We're not a big studio.
Cheap fucks. All right.
I have to buy dinner.
Poor fucks.
All right. Well, Dave and Heather are going to hang around. We're going to be talking about a new law, which I bet a lot of people don't know about. It's called, the abbreviation for it is FOSTA. And we'll do some stuff, how Trump pissed me off. And then we'll play Savage Medicine later on. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes. On the break, we got new music from DJ Most Money with Just a DJ, and B Infinite and Chris Cowley with Summer Breeze.